Now, we're beginning Masechta Menachos. So in Zvachim, we focus mostly on animal korbanos and a little bit on bird korbanos. Menachos mostly focuses on the korban mincha, which is a korban that comes from, which is a korban made from flour. So you have a bunch of different kinds. Why it's called mincha, by the way, I mean the basic meaning of mincha is a gift. Why it's related also to the word nachas is nachas ruach. Why specifically a mincha, flour korban, is called that? One point is, we'll talk about later in the Masechta, it's typically a poor person who brings a mincha, and Hashem appreciates that gift much more even sometimes than the animal that's brought by the rich person, because the poor person can less afford it even. So therefore it has a special name of a mincha as a gift to Hashem. I think I also once saw an explanation along the lines of that since it comes from the Shodosh Noch, something resting, so therefore it refers to something that comes from the world of Tzemeach, of the plant, the vegetable kingdom, as opposed to animal and bird korbanos that are from Chai, from things that move around and are not at rest. I don't remember the source of that, though. In any case, there are different kinds of menachos. We're going to be discussing them all in our Masechta. You have a couple of ones that are brought by the Tzibur. First of all, you have minchas nisachim that are brought with various kinds of korbanos, both public and private korbanos. So you have flour that goes with them, as well as wine, flour mixed with oil, as well as wine. You have the omer. You have the shteil lechem, which is not actually brought on the mizbeach, but it still is considered a type of mincha, and we're going to be discussing them in great detail later in our masechta, both the omer and the shteil lechem. The lechem aponim is also a type of mincha. It's also going to be discussed. And then you have, among the private people's menachos that Rambam summarizes in Yad HaChazakah, they have nine types. In his introduction to our Masechta, he enumerates them a little differently, but it amounts to the same thing. You have the minchas soita, the one that's brought during the soita procedure, minchas choite, which we're going to start talking about in our Mishnah, the one that a person brings for a korban oil of a yodet. You have the cases where a person has done certain averis. We learned about them in Masechta Shavuos. He goes into the Bais Mikdash, reads Kodshim when he's tamei and doesn't know about it. Anyway, so he has to bring an adjustable value korban, and if he's the poorest of the poor, dale dalos, then that korban is a mincha without oil. That's called minchas choite. So you have that, you have minchas soita, which is also without oil, but it comes from barley flour. You have the mincha that the Kohen Gadol brings every day, the minchas chavitin, the one that the same mincha is brought by any regular Kohen the first time he does the avodah. It's called minchas chinuch. And then you have five types of mincha that a regular person can bring, of which you have one of raw, you can bring the neder and a dover voluntarily. One is raw flour, the other four are two types that are baked and two types that are fried. We're going to start talking about them a little bit on Amud Beis. So those are all the various kinds of mincha, and those are all going to be discussed in our Masechta. So the Mishnah starts off, and the beginning of our Masechta is very much like the beginning of Zvachim in a way. The first thing it talks about is the matter of Shaloi Lishma, and you have similar concepts and similar discussions that you have between Zvachim, between animal and bird korbanos, versus Menachos. So the Mishnah starts off, Kol Menachos Shenikmatzu Shaloi Lishma, any mincha where the koimetz was taken shaloi l'shman, and we're going to see that the shaloi l'shman, now, like we learned in Zvachim, there's a few aspects in shaloi l'shman. It can mean not for the sake of that type of mincha. It can mean also shaloi l'shem bailim, that he has in mind a different owner. So here, Rashi says, for example, shaloi l'shman would mean, let's say, again, you have, for example, there are two types of menachos that are fried, called machvas and marcheshes. We'll learn about them in detail later in our Masechta. Machvas is a shallow pan, and marcheshes is a deep pan, and the menachos that are fried in each of those are prepared differently. So suppose that he has in front of him a minchas malcheshes, and the koyin takes the koyimetz and says, I'm doing it l'shem machvas. So that would be an example Rashi brings of shaloi l'shman. Achronim deal with questions. Why do we have to say that way? Why can't we say, for example, that he has in mind that it's for the sake of a minchas nisachim? Is there in fact a difference in that regard? Would we say, let's say it was a nesachim that comes together with an ola, and he has in mind it's the nesachim that comes together with a shlomim, would that make a difference? There's a lot of discussion about that point. Anyway, the Mishnah says Ksheiros, the korban is kosher, and you still continue to offer it on the offer the kumitz on the mizbeach, and the kohenim eat the rest of the mincha. But it doesn't count for the owner's obligation of the korban. Chutz minchas choyte or minchas knois, with the exception of the minchas choyte, which is again what we just said, the korban olah v'yored that a person brings for certain averus, where if he can't afford it, dalei dalos is the poorest of the poor, then he brings a korban mincha. And as we're going to learn in the Gemara, that one is kind of the equivalent of a chatas or minchas knois. And the mincha of a soita, which the Gemara will eventually show us psukim, from which we learn that those two dafka have to be lishma. But with the exception of, but with the same way as we learned in Zvachim about the chatas and the pesach, that those are the exception. And if they're done shalom lishma, they're possible. We just stop things right there, take them and burn them, and start all over. Here the equivalent of the pesach and the chatas is the minchas soita and the minchas knois. And again, like we learned in Zvachim, and as we're going to learn in our Masechta, it applies, well, actually, as our Mishnah is going to say, it applies not only to the Kmitza, but the other Avodas as well. What it is we learned in Zvachim a number of times that when it comes to the blood of the Korban, you have four main Avodas. The Shechita, the Kabbalah, receiving the blood in a basin, Holocha, walking it over to the Mizbeach, and Zrika, actually sprinkling it on the Mizbeach. By a Mincha, you also have those. You have a corresponding one to those four. The Kmitza corresponds to the Shechita. Then you place the Kometz in a Keli, which corresponds to Kabbalah. You walk it over to the Mizbeach, Holocha, and you burn it on the, you throw it into the fire on the Mizbeach and burn it. That's the equivalent of Zrika. So the same way as by an animal or bird, by bird carbon, you only have two of them, but whatever, but the same way as by an animal or bird carbon, any of those avoidas can passel it if it's shalom l'shman, by in the case of a Pesach and a Chatas over there, and in the case of the same way with any of our four, with a Minchas Choyto, Minchas Knois, it will make the carbon possible, and with other Menachas it won't be possible, but it won't count for the owner's obligation. Now one interesting difference, is that unlike with an animal, you don't really have any avoda that takes place with the animal before the shechita. You have the shechita, and then you have the shechita, and everything goes from there. In the case of a mincha, you do have some things that take place before the kmitza. You have the first of all, the flour and the oil have to be mixed. If it's a baked or fried mincha, it has to be fried, and that has to be done as well. You have to do, then, with a mincha soita, you have to do tnufa, the kohen and the woman together wave it. With all menachas, you have hagosha, touching it to the corner of the mizbeach. Those, even though those are all avoidas, some of those are avoidas, and tnufa and hagosha even have to be done by the kohen, those are not in the category over here where if they were done shalom l'shma, that it will affect the validity of the korban. Only the four that we sent. So the Mishnah continues, Minchas Choyto, Minchas Knois, Shekomtzen Shalom L'Shman. So now if he did the Minchas Choyto, the Minchas Knois, if he took the Kometz Shalom L'Shman, Nosim B'Kli, or if he put it in the Keli, the Hilich, or he walked it over to the Mizbeach, the Hikdu, he burnt the Kometz, Shalom L'Shman, any of those four that he did Shalom L'Shman, having in mind it was a different type of Korban, or even a different type of Mincha, or L'Shman V'Shalom L'Shman, or he had in mind Lashman and then Shalom Lashman. So it could be, Rashi points out, within one avoda itself, you could have that he has in mind that part of that avoda, that avoda should be for the sake of this particular mincha and for something else. Or it could be, of course, two avodas. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about that in the Gemara as we talked about in Zvachim. Whether within one avoda that makes a difference. Rashi over here is saying that it does. Any one particular avoda he might have in mind, l'shman and shalom l'shman, and it's no good. Tosfos points out the same thing is going to be as far as shinui bialim if he has in mind a different owner. So if he has in mind only l'shman by any one avoda, or even l'shman v'shaloi l'shman, or shaloi l'shman v'l'shman, or he has in mind doing part of the avoda, or doing one avoda shaloi l'shman, and then in another one l'shman, shulis, in those two korbanos, the minchas choyta and the minchas knois, are going to be potter. Ketzav l'shman v'shaloi l'shman, what do we mean by the shman? And Rashi points out, by the way, the reason why we have to say both, we learned in Zvachim of a discussion called Tfois Loshen Achred. Sometimes when a person says two things that are contradictory, we say we ignore the first thing that he said, and we focus on the second thing. So here, if he says shaloi l'shman, but then he says l'shman, then maybe the Lishman overrides and there's not a problem, and therefore the Korban read puzzle. No, we're saying that nevertheless we still say after Tchilas Dvarim shall Adam Nitpas, a person is also grabbed and grasped by what he said first. And therefore, the fact that he first said Shalom Lishman is enough to passel the Korban, even if later on he also said Lishman. By the way, we talked about in Zvachim, Tosfos over here discusses, when we talk about this Machshava, are we talking about thinking it or are we talking about speaking it? Tosfos discusses it a little further in the, on like Daftalot or so. So do we mean that he actually speaks it out, Rashi and Tosfos both hold that yes, it would actually have to be that he spoke it out in order for it to be possible. If he just thought it, then not. On the other hand, the Rambam, many Mephoshim explain the Rambam to be saying that even a Machshava, even just thinking it in his mind, is enough to pass it. But even they, the Achronim, talk about that maybe even according to that, wouldn't just be like he just has a thought flip through his mind. Later on, our Amud Beis, the Gemara calls it, the Gemara talks about it, has to be Machshava de Minkra, a Machshava which is recognizable. So it wouldn't just be Stama, a machshava that flits through his mind. So they talk about it would still have to be that he actually thinks the words in his mind. I am thinking of doing this mincha as a different kind of mincha. And not just some unformed thought. You have the Alter Rebbe talks about in Tanya, and you get a few tests at the end that you have within machshava, you have machshava, dibra, and maisa, and within machshava itself, you have machshava, dibra, maisa. So you have the machshava within machshava, when you just have like a spark of an idea and you haven't really developed it out yet. Then you think the words out and you think the words out in your mind and you actually delineate them into letters, and there you have dibur and maisa. So here, in other words, according to that way of looking at it, you would have to have the dibur and the maisa within machshava. And then again, according to Rashi and Tosfos, not even that, it would actually have to be actual dibur that he actually verbalizes the words. So the Mishnah says, "Kaitzav l'shmon v'shaloi l'shmon." What does it mean, l'shmon and shaloi l'shmon? For example, l'shem minchas choyta or l'shem minchas nedava. For example, he's doing the mitzvah or one of the other avoidus of the one of the other four avoidus of the mincha, and has in mind at the beginning that it should be for minchas choyta, for this, where the person is bringing for a korban olav yodid or l'shem minchas nedava, and also then he thinks afterwards or at the same time or whatever that it's also for a voluntary mincha. Shaloi l'shmon v'l'shmon would be the other way around. L'shem minchas nedava, l'shem minchas choyta, where he has in mind that it should be a nedava, and then he thinks that it should be a choyta. We're all talking about, by the way, where he does this deliberately. The Gemara elsewhere we talked about it in Zvachim, we're going to talk about it in Amasechta, about the concept called Akira Betos. If he mistakenly changes the designation of the korban because Yitaka doesn't know what it is, then that would that necessarily pass the korban? Not everybody agrees that it would. So, but we were talking about where he did it knowingly, then this is what we're talking about. So we're saying again, in some cases the korban will be possible, in some cases it'll be kosher, it won't count for the owner. The Gemara does mention in Gittin that midrabanan, the kohen will have to pay for the damage, because after all, now because of him, the person has to bring another korban, which is going to cost him money. Okay, so the Gemara says, why did the Mishnah use the word? It says kolam menachas, any menachas that the kmitza was taken shaloi l'shman kshelus ela. However, shaloi olal b'alam l'shem klova, it doesn't count for the owner's obligation. We had almost this identical thing in Zvachim as well. Listen, v'loy olal b'alam l'shem klova. Instead of the word ela, just say and. It does not count for the owner's obligation, and that would be better. We should always try to use loshen tzara. We should always the la'olam mishana adam tamidim derech tzara. A person should always try teaching his tamidim in the short shortest possible way, rather than using extra words. So why is the Mishnah using here the word ela? And the answer is hakamashmal and listening the loyal bible and shem koiva. It should say, and it does not count for the owner's obligation. And the answer is hakamashmalan la bailam who deloy all shem koiva. It means it doesn't count for the owner's obligation. However, the mincha itself, unless the mincha spoiter or mincha knois, will in fact be kosher, and that means but also the shanuye, you're not allowed to make any further changes in it. So even though, let's say, you did the kmitza shaloi l'shma, you're not allowed to now go and say, well, it's already not counting for the owner anyway. I may as well do the next avoda also shaloi l'shma. You're not allowed to do that. Kedurava, as Rava explains, the Omer Rava, Oyla Shashachta Shalai Lashma, for example, you shafted an Oyla Shalai Lashma, also Lizrik Dhamma Shalai Lashma. You're not allowed to sprinkle the blood or do any of the other avodas in between. Shalai Lashma, you still have to, as much as possible, do the avodas. You still have to do the avodas lishma. They talk about that maybe within the same avoda you don't need to. If you already had in mind, you started the shchita shalai lishma. Maybe you don't necessarily have to finish the shchita lishma, but at least the next avoda should be lishma and the rest of them. So Rava is saying that. By the way, as far as when the Gemara is asking why does it say Ella, and one point is Rashi had mentioned in Zvachim the point that because you should always teach briefly, Shittu Bukabetzis points out another reason for the question as well. When you say Ella, is mashma that basically it's kosher. There's only this little detail that makes it possible, and then you have some that are outright possible. But the fact is that on the face of it, the fact is they're not kosher at all. And the answer is they are. Not only they're kosher, but you're not allowed to go and change the designation during any of the rest of the avodas, as Rava is saying. Now, why do we say that? You could say that there's a svara to explain that point, that once you did one avoda wrong, doesn't mean you should do the other ones wrong. Or if you want to have a posuk that expresses that point. You would say, Mishum de Mashani Ba, just because he changed one thing, Kolhani Lishani Ba, should he go and change the rest of the avodas as well? No, just because you did one thing, the nasal, should he keep on going and doing, changing and altering the rest of it? No, you did one thing wrong, doesn't mean you shouldn't be compounding the mistake and doing it again and again. The Gemara elsewhere has the expression for this, Misha Ochel Shum Vereche Noidiv. If a person ate garlic and his breath smells bad, Yochel Shum Acha Vereche Vereche Noidiv. Should he continue eating garlic and continue his breath should smell bad? No, you did something, you messed up. At least do better from now on. So therefore, yeah, you did this, you did one avoda. Shalom,
shalom.
Oyla la'adam shachal shum. Where does it say that? That's something else. That person, woe to a person who has a foul smelling kind of job, but that's something else entirely. But yeah, I don't know. But yeah, so just because a person did one thing wrong doesn't mean he should be doing another thing again and again wrong. So that's the svara. Be boy same akra if you want to have a pasuk that tells you this idea. The pasuk says, "Yeah, you make a promise, you have to keep it." The pasuk says, "Motzas fasecha tishmer v'asisa." What comes out of your lips, you should guard and you should do. Kasha nedarta l'Hashem alekecha nedava, as you vowed to Hashem your God, a free will korban. The words neder and nedava have precise meanings when it comes to korbanos. A neder is when you say hare olai, I obligate myself to bring such and such a korban. So the obligation is now, it's a chovas gavra. You have an obligation to see to it that korban is brought. Later on, you go on to your herd of animals, you go over to your herd of animals and pick one particular sheep or cattle or what have you. If that one later on is lost or stolen or develops a mum or dies or whatever, you still have the obligation to bring the korban. Then it's a nedava would be, to begin with, you say, you go pick a particular animal and say, this one will be a korban. If that animal becomes unavailable, you don't have to do anything else. It was supposed to be brought to the korban. It can't anymore. That's it. You're off the hook. So why is the pasuk saying over here, nadarta l'Hashem alekecha nedava? Nedava, neder. What do you mean nedava? We just said it's a neder. Korilei neder, korilei nedava. The pasuk was calling it a neder and nedava. It seems there were actually two different, the Shittu Mekubetzis points out there were different girsos. Over here it seems that Rashi had one girsa in the Gemara and Tosfos had a different one as far as what, because it seems repetitious. What do you mean? You're calling it Nedava, Neder, and then Korile Neder, but Korile Nedava. Rashi had one girsa, Shittu Mekubetzis, the Tosfos had the other, and the printers kind of blended them together. In any case, the point is that, So what is it? Why are we using both the word neder and nedava? means Ela. So what the pasuk is expressing you the idea im kamashin adauta asisa, if you did as you vowed to bring an ola and you actually brought an ola, or you vowed to bring a minchas machmas and you actually brought a minchas machmas, good, you hey neder, then it fulfills your neder and now you're potter. V'im lav you hey nedava, if not, it will still be brought as a voluntary korban. It'll still be a voluntary ola or mincha or what have you. But after all, if a person is bringing a nedava in the first place, is he allowed to change the designation, or the kohen who's doing the avodah allowed to change the designation? No. For example, Rashi says, the pasuk says, "V'im zevach shlomim korbanai." When you bring a shlomim offering. And that means the zevach, the shchita, should be l'shem shlomim. And similarly, we learn by other korbanos as well, that they have to be l'shma. So therefore, as so fine, by most korbanos it's not possible, by shlomim it's not either, but the point is it does have to be done, even though a shlomim can perfectly well be brought v'nedava. So you see that if the pasuk is telling you that your korban that was brought with a mistaken intention, nevertheless, is still a valid korban, is still a nedava. The fact is, you're not allowed to start changing designations willy-nilly with a nedava either, and therefore we can learn from that. Rava's point that even you did one avodah, even you did three of the four avodahs, shaloi l'shma, nevertheless, you still have the obligation to do the remaining ones l'shma. Here, by the way, Rashi is saying we learn from him, zevach shlomim korbanai, Shitta Mukhabetis points out, that there's a different source for it, which Rashi himself actually brings out, and Rashi himself brings in the Zvachin, a different limb with the fact that the pasuk says, lo yechoshev, that the korban will not be counted when there's certain thoughts of psul, specifically pigul, but then we learn from that also, lo yechoshev, you're not allowed to think a wrong thought in conscience. The Rambam also, when he brings these halachas, brings that there's an isser to this, it's one of the lavim in the Torah, to not think a wrong thought in conscience, because it says lo yechoshev, and we darshan it, lo yechoshev, you should not think of such a wrong thought. Okay. So the Gemara says, "Leinu masnisin d'loy k'Reb Shimon." Do we have to say that our Mishnah is not like Reb Shimon? And we prefer not to. A Stam Mishnah, we should assume, generally goes according to all the Tanoim. Especially, actually, there's reason to think there are Sfarim that discuss this topic. Doros HaRishonim, a Sefer on Jewish history, for example, discusses this. There's Sfarim from Reuven Margolius on the subject, etc. That the core of the Mishnah goes back long before Revi. Doros HaRishonim calls it Yisoid HaMishnah. There's various other names that are used for it. There's a core Mishnah, a core statement of the basics of Torah Shabbat Peh that goes back generations before Revi, maybe even all the way to the Anshek Nesrak Dola. Over time, the Tanoim discussed it and analyzed it, and eventually different opinions developed. Sometimes we'll find, so we have examples of this in Zvachim, we have examples of this all over Shas, where a Mishnah will say a generic statement, and then later Tanoim will disagree what that statement of the Mishnah meant. One classic example that comes to mind, for example, you have at the beginning of Pesachim, it says, V'loma omru shtei shuris v'martif. Why do the Chachamim say that you have to check two rows of barrels in a wine cellar for chametz? And then we're talking about a place where chametz is brought in by the waiter or whatever, and therefore it's a place where machnisin by chametz. And then within that, Rishama and Rishillel argue, what's the definition of those shtei shuris? So we see that long before then, there was a known fact that you have to check two rows in a wine cellar where chametz has been brought in, and the question is only which two rows are we talking about. So you have that many times. So the Gemara will generally try to assume that a Stam Mishnah goes according to everybody, and only if we find that Tanoim argue with it, then fine. It means they argue with it. It means this wasn't part of that poor Mishnah, or it means that this detail was learned later, or whatever it is. So, but should we have to say that our Mishnah is not like Reb Shimon? The Tanya Reb Shimon Omer. Kol Menachas Sheniknas Shloi L'Shman Kshiras. All Menachas where the Koimetz was taken Shloi L'Shman are not only their kosher, as our Mishnah said, but Ve'olu L'Bailam L'Shem Chayva. It even counts for the owner's obligation. Fine, he agrees there's the exception that we said, he's going to say that even the Minchas Choyta and Minchas Knoz, he's going to say, She'ena Menachas on the face of it. Because Reb Shimon points out, of course there was a concept of Shloi L'Shma by Korbanos, but Menachos are completely different in this regard than Zvachim. Suppose, let's take the example that Rashi had mentioned on our Mishnah, where a person had brought a minchas machvas. Well, Rashi had said the other way around, but whatever. A person brought a minchas machvas of a mincha that was fried in a shallow pan. which therefore, as we'll learn in Armasachta, as we'll learn later in Armasachta, is much the dough of it is stiffer, and the product comes out much harder, much harder. So if he takes a klimas of it, l'shum marcheshes, having in mind that it was a minchas marcheshes, one that's deep fried, which comes out much softer, maser mechichen alah, l'shum machmas, you can clearly see from the consistency of it that it's not a minchas marcheshes, because the consistency of them is much different. So therefore you can tell that he's stam hacking a chaynik, or as Rashi says, from a chazem, he's lying. So there's no way you can confuse one with the other. Similarly, Chareva l'shum blula, he's going to take a koibetz from a dry mincha, the mincha of the mincha of a choyter or the mincha of a soita, which are both dry because they don't come, the oil is not included with them, and he has in mind that it's a regular mincha that is mixed with oil. Again, maaseh mechichon alah, again, it's very obvious that it's not so, because you can see this one doesn't have oil, and the one that he's talking about with his statement does. So again, you can say that he's mechazer and he's hacking a chaynik, and we should ignore what he says. Before I should point out that even within the Chareva itself, you might well say the Shikim Kubetzis brings that, what about Minchas Sota and Minchas Chota? Both of them are dry. But on the other hand, the fact is there's a difference between them also. One's barley flour, one's wheat flour. So even then you can say Maaseh Mechichon Alah. If he takes the premise from a Minchas Chota and has in mind it's a Minchas Chota, it's very obvious, again, that he's Mechazim, that he's saying something clearly untrue, because then why is it barley flour? Alba bezvachim ain't a cane. But Reb Shimon says when it comes to animal korbanos, it's not so. The pharaoh of brood korbanos, shchita achas nekulam, they're all shechted in the same way. Okay, they're not shechted in the same part of the azara, Tosfos points out, but the Gemara itself is going to point out later on, they're not all shechted in the same place. Kodshe kodshim, as we learned in zvachim, have to be shechted in the north of the azara. So there is an obvious difference between them. So the Gemara will deal with that later. But in any case, the actual act of shchita is the same thing. That's the same zrika for all of them. Now, to be sure, it's not. Of course, there are many different kinds of zrika for different korbanos, as we learned in Ezer Makoyman. So Tosfos brings from Rashi. We don't have that in Rashi in front of us, but Tosfos brings it from Rashi. The fact is that also, as we learned in Zvachim, that you did matana achas, you did only one application of blood, then b'dieved it's kosher, and therefore we can say in that sense that they all have the same matana. And then Tosfos goes on to point out that, listen, when you do the first one, shalo l'shmo, it's not so clear that it's going to be a different kind of korban until the last one is done. Meanwhile, by the second one, already the machshava won't passel, because already, again, one matana is enough, and therefore, at that point, it's too late to have a thought of shalo l'shmo. Tosfos then points out, what about, for example, a chatas, where the chatas is done uniquely with the finger on the corners, and you have the offshim of the Metzora, which we learned in Zvachim, that you have a special kind of Kabbalah with it, where the one Kohen receives most of the blood in a Mizrach, and the other one receives some of the blood in his left hand. So therefore you can say that with those also, it's not Kabbalah or Zrika Achas Kolan. So fine, Tosca says that later on, when the Gemara analyzes what Reb Shimon is saying, it could have asked such questions, but it doesn't. Shitul Kovetis adds the point, listen, in the end, the Gemara is going to say, we're not talking about every single korban, but we're talking about the majority of korbanos have the same kind of zrika. Most of them are matanos, shtei matanos, shtei arba, and most of them is done from the keli rather than with the finger. And Reb Shimon says, Kabbalah achas the korban, and you have one Kabbalah. Kabbalah is done the same way for all of them. Now, so we mentioned shchita, zrika, and Kabbalah. Okay, that's out of order. We didn't mention halacha. Tosfos points out, we learned in Zvachim, Reb Shimon, we're going to learn in Armasachta as well, Reb Shimon holds that in Halacha is not absolutely necessary. You did the Shchita, or you did the Kmitza right next to the Mizbeach, you don't need Halacha at all, holds Reb Shimon. Okay, the point is, Reb Shimon holds, therefore, that when you have something which is a clearly false statement, or Machshava, then it doesn't work. Well, our Mishnah that says that it does have an effect, and Rashi had given the example that we mean, for example, Machlas L'Shem Marcheset, L'Chesh L'Shem Marcheses, or the other way around, or the Mishnah had given an example, L'Shem Minchas Choyte, or L'Shem Minchas Nedava, where again, one is mixed with flat, one is mixed with oil, and the other is not, seems to be not like Reb Shimon. So, Now, it would work out well if we enter what Rav Shimon says based on what Rav Ashi says. Namely, the Gemara is going to point out, a little further down the Amud, a different statement of Rav Shimon, where Rav Shimon seems to contradict himself and agree that there are at least certain menachos, the minchas choita and the minchas knois that we said in our Mishnah, where in fact Shaloi L'Shema will passel them. Whereas in our Braisa, he seems to be saying that all across the board, it doesn't matter, Chareva, Blula, it doesn't matter, it's all the same thing. So the Gemara is going to give three answers. One of them is Rav Ashi's answer, where he says, Kan b'kumetz machmas l'shem machheshes, kan b'kumetz minchas machmas l'shem minchas machheshes. The difference would be where one is where he uses the word mincha and one is where he does not. So one is he takes, so Rav Ashi explains, where he says, I'm taking the knitza of a machvas, having in mind that it's machheshes. He never even used the word mincha. So therefore, it's sam, Rashi says, divrei ruach, it's sam hacking a china. There's no machvas and there's no machheshes over here. The mincha itself is not brought into the azorah in a machvas or machheshes. It's brought in a cliche, it's put in a klisharis. So when he uses the word that I'm taking a klimat from machvas for machheshes, then that's meaningless. And Rav Shimon will say, therefore, that, listen, when it's in the respective kalim, you can clearly see what it is, and therefore what he says is meaningless, and the korban is completely kosher. But can the klimat minchas machmas, l'shem minchas machmas, but where he says, I'm taking a minchas machmas, and I'm taking a klimat from it, having in mind that it's a minchas machmas, there he's using the word mincha, and Rav Shimon would agree that that won't work, that it'll make the korban, that the owner won't be yotze, or in the case of certain menachas, that it'll make it altogether possible. So fine, masnissim mincha l'shem mincha, then you could say our Mishnah is talking about where he used the word mincha, and Rav Shimon will agree, and therefore our Mishnah will work according to Rav Shimon. Elul Rabba and Rava, but according to Rabba and Rava, who are going to give other answers soon to explain to Fa'en for Rav Shimon, Ma'ikal Meimor, according to them, what are you going to say? How are you going to reconcile? How are you going to say that our Mishnah works according to Rav Shimon? V'chi Tema Kedibashani Rabba, so you're going to try to use Rabba's answer, which he uses later on, Kan B'Shinui Kodesh, Kan B'Shinui Bailim, that there's a difference between whether it was Shinui Kodesh, whether he's changing from one type of Mincha to another. For example, Machbas to Marcheshes, where again, as Reb Shimon says in the Braisa we just quoted, Maaseh Mechichin, it's clearly obvious from the fact, from this is a different type of Mincha that he's saying or thinking, and therefore he's clearly Mechazev, he's clearly lying. As opposed to the second Braisa that we're going to quote soon, where Rav Shimon says that it will be possible, is talking about Shinui Bailim, where it's Reuben's korban and he has in mind Lashem Shimon. There's no Maaseh Mechichin Aleha. The mincha looks exactly the same, whether Reuben or Shimon brings it. So if you're going to give that answer, you're going to try to give that answer and therefore still say, our Mishnah is specifically referring to Shinui Bailim, can't. Because in our Mishnah, it doesn't refer to Shinui Bailim at all. It refers to Shinui Kodesh. The Mishnah had given an example that Minchas Choyte, L'Shem Minchas Nedava, or vice versa. Nikotani, Ketzel L'Shemon, V'Sholo L'Shemon, L'Shem Minchas Choyte, L'Shem Minchas Nedava. So it can't work to say that our Mishnah, we can't use Rabba's answer and say that our Mishnah is referring to Bailim, because it clearly does not. The Inami Kedav Kamashani Rava, you're going to try to use Rava's answer, which is, Kan Bekoimetz Mincha L'Shem Mincha, Kan Bekoimetz Mincha L'Shem Zevach. One would be where he does the Koimetz having in mind that Reb Shimon would say, if he has in mind that one type of mincha is a different type of mincha, then so Rava gives an explanation. It's not so much Reb Shimon is saying Maaseh Mechichin Aleha. Reb Shimon points out the pasuk says Zizos Torah Sam Mincha, which means Torah Achas B'chol Menachos. There is one uniform Torah for all Menachos. So therefore, Reb Shimon is going to say it doesn't really matter so much whether we had one mincha in mind versus a different one, because it doesn't matter so much because they all have the same rules anyway. So Rava would answer, that's when Rav Shimon says it counts. But can the koimetz mincha, the shum zevach, but the other case would be where he takes the koimetz from the mincha, having in mind that it's a zevach, having in mind that it is a korban. So then it's not Torah achas l'chola menachos. Then Rav Shimon would agree that it is in fact possible in certain cases and not counts for the owner in other cases. So you're going to say that our Mishnah then is talking about Koimetz Mincha L'Shem Zevach. There are chidushim on our Masechta that are attributed to the Rashba. It's more the Chofetz Chaim apparently originally understood that they really are from the Rashba, but there were different Achronim talk about that it seems that from the style and various other things that not, some attribute them to the Reed, some attribute them to a different Rashba, Rav Shloima ben Avraham min Har, who was a Bar Plugta of the Rambam. In any case, so he points out, what do you mean, Kmitza mitzvah l'shem zevach? That's meaningless. There's no such thing as Kmitza by a zevach. So he says that fine, Rava would be saying what we mean is l'shem mincha l'shem zevach, but also shinui by them. So let's say, for example, in the case of a mincha schoita, so you have again a poor person, a really poor person will be bringing a mincha, a rich person would be bringing an animal as a korban. So let's say he does the kmitza, having in mind that it will be on behalf of, so he's taking the kmitza from Reuven's mincha, Reuven being a poor guy who brought a mincha for a korban over the yerdin, and he's doing it having in mind that this will be mechaper for Shimon, who's rich and brought an animal for and needs to bring an animal for his korban. So that would be l'shem mincha, that would be mincha l'shem zevach. So you're going to try to use that answer. Won't work with our Mishnah either. Hamas nisim mincha l'shem mincha. Because our Mishnah is talking about where he took the kovetz of a mincha, having in mind that it's a mincha. Again, the katani shaloi l'shem l'shem minchas nedava or l'shem minchas choyte, where both of his thoughts were about some kind of mincha. So again, we're not talking about mincha versus zevach. In fact, Rashi points out that the Gemara could have just as well used the fact that it says l'shman v'shaloi l'shman, since the Mishnah had already used l'shman v'shaloi l'shman to ask on Rava, so now the Gemara continues with asking from shaloi l'shman v'shman on Rava. So Rava and Rava's answers may work to reconcile Rav Shimon's own opinions, but they cannot reconcile Rav Shimon's opinion with our Mishnah. See, right? Okay. Necessarily, we have to say that Rabba and Rabba's opinions, their understandings will not fit with our Mishnah, and therefore, of necessity, according to them, our Mishnah will not go according to Rav Shimon. Okay? So, Rami did Rav Shimon and Rav Shimon. So now we point out this actual contradiction between the two things Rav Shimon says. In the previous Braisa, Rav Shimon had said that any kind of mincha that he does, Shalor Lashma, no problem because Master Mechichon Aleha, because it's clear that it's a different kind of mincha as opposed to by the Korbanos, where there's not such an obvious distinction between the different types. But to Tanya, we learn in another Braisa, Rav Shimon Omer, the Pasuk says about the mincha, Kodesh Kadoshim He, Pachatas V'Cha'asham. The mincha is Kodesh Kadoshim. It's the holiest type of korban, which means it can only be eaten by the male kohenim, only inside the Azara. Like a chatas and like an asham. Now, why do we need to compare the mincha to the chatas and the asham? So Rav Shimon says, Yesh mehen kachatas v'yesh mehen ka'asham. It means there are some menachas that are like a chatas and others that are like an asham. Minchas choyte harei kachatas. Specifically, the minchas choyte and the minchas choyte that we learned in our Mishnah are like a chatas of an animal. Therefore, the ficha comes to shalei l'shma psula kachatas. So if he does the koyma, the kmitza, shalei l'shma, then it will be possible, just like by a chatas, as we learned in Zvachin, that a chatas is one of the korbanos. That if you do it shalei l'shma, then it's completely possible. So the minchas choyte will be in that category. Minchas nedava harei ka'asham. On the other hand, a voluntary mincha is like an asham, and as we learned in Zvachim, an asham is one of the korbanos that is not possible shalei l'shma. We had an opinion of Rabbi Eliezer that says that it is, but the chachamim, including Rabbi Shimon, hold that it's not possible. It just doesn't count for the owner, and therefore we have a comparison to the asham of the minchas nedava l'ficha comes to shalei l'shma k'shera. Therefore, if he takes the kovetz shalei l'shma, it will be kosher just like an asham would have been if he shechted or did any of the avodas shalei l'shma. V'cha'asham, and once we make that comparison, then we also can further compare it to an asham and say, ma asham kosher ve'ini meratza. Just like with the asham, it is kosher if it was done shalei l'shma. However, it does not count for the owner's. However, it does not count for the owner's obligation, as we learned in Zvachim. Af minchas nedava k'sheder ve'ini meratza. The same way, by the minchas nedava, it will be kosher. You do continue the rest of the avodas, and the koyanim eat the rest of it. However, it will not count for the owner's obligation. And therefore, he's going to need to bring another one. Tosfos points out that actually later on the Gemara is going to in the end we're not actually learning from this. This is really only the Smachta. Mainly we use this pasuk for a different game that we learned about in Zvachim. Really, instead, the fact that a mincha. is kosher, shalom l'shma, but doesn't count for the owner. We learn from the hekesh with shlomim, the hekesh that we learned several times in Zvachim, where we say posik and davening, zeis atonah la'olah la'mincha, v'la'chatas v'la'ashim l'am, we learn those zevach shlomim, and we learn from the hekesh that most of the korbanos mentioned in that posik have the same rules. So the point is that now we have, so in here, in the second braisa, Reb Shimon is saying that there were two, that a minchas choyta is possible, shalom l'shma, whereas in the previous braisa he said it's not a problem. So we have three answers that the Gemara had alluded to before. Omer Rava Lekasha Kan B'Shinui Kodesh Kan B'Shinui Bailin. One, the first braisa is talking about Shinui Kodesh. He had in mind that a machmas should be a marcheshes, or a dry mincha should be a mincha with oil or whatever. Whereas our braisa is talking about Shinui Bailin, he had in mind for a different owner, and therefore you can't say Maaser Mechichon. So Reb Shimon had said Maaser Mechichon Aleha. The fact that it looks visibly different, and therefore that shows that he's not telling the truth. But when it comes to Reuben versus Shimon, you can't really tell that. So the Gemara asks, Omalei Abayev, Mechti Machshava de Fosar Rachmana Hakeshi. Look, the very fact that we let a Machshava passels a korban is from the Hekesh with the Chachas and the Osham that we just said. Maybe that particular Hekesh is an Asmachta, but fine, the Hekesh of Zoi Satorah is also a Hekesh. Either way, we're learning it from a Hekesh. So then, Mali Shinui Kodesh, Mali Shinui Bailin. So what's the difference? What type of machshava? A machshava is a machshava. Either way, by a chatas or by an osham, by a chatas, either one would passel. By an osham, either one makes it that doesn't count for the owner. Why would Reb Shimon draw a distinction when it comes to a mincha between Shinui Kodesh and between a different type of mincha versus a different owner? Amalei. So Rabbi answers, the difference is Maaser Mechichon, Kama Reb Shimon Svarig. The fact is, when Reb Shimon says this business of Maaser Mechichon, that you can tell that it's a lie because it's clearly a different type of korban, is that itself is a Svara. Did Reb Shimon Dorish Taima Dekra? Because Reb Shimon regularly throughout Shas darshens the reasons behind dinim in the pasuk. We regularly have in Shas and a number of examples where Reb Shimon will look at a din that it says in the pasuk and try to understand what the reasoning is behind that mitzvah, and therefore say when that mitzvah applies and when not. One example that's brought in several places in Shas is like this. The Torah tells us, "Voy sachbo beged almana." You're not allowed to take as a mashkin of a clothing of a widow. Now, why not? So the Chacham says it's across the board. Reb Shimon says, though, no, only if she's poor. Because if she's poor, the Torah tells us in a couple of places that when you take a mashkin from a poor person and he's going to need it every day or every night, as the case may be, depending whether it's a day item or a night item, then you're going to have to return it to him every day or every night and then pick it up from him the next time. Now, if it's an almana, says Reb Shimon, every day you're going to be visiting her to pick up the mashkin. Every night you're going to be going there to return it, or vice versa. Eventually, tongues are going to start wagging. What's this almana? What's she having? This strange man visit her every day, and it's going to bring a laz on her. So Reb Shimon says, therefore, the Torah doesn't want you taking a mashkin from her. But if she's rich, and she has lots of changes of clothing, lots of outfits or whatever, and the mashkin you take, you're going to keep long term until she pays back the loan, what's the problem? Therefore, Reb Shimon says, there's no problem taking a mashkin of clothing from a rich widow. So we see that he's Dorish Taima Dekra. He looks into the reason behind the mitzvah and derives the din from that, and then derives the parameters of the din for that. Well then, says Rabbah, in this case, then we have to apply the same thing. Machshavah like minkur apostle Rahmana. Therefore, machshavah that is not recognizable, where it's not recognizable, that it's obviously a false machshavah, apostle Rahmana, then the Torah passels that. A machshava de minkara, but a machshava that's clearly obviously false, such as machmas l'shem marcheshes loy pasal rachmana, that the Torah is not going to passel because it's so clearly obvious that it's wrong. Therefore, Reb Shimon says time of dekra, the whole reasoning behind why the korban should be pasel is not going to apply in that case. And therefore, yes, he can make that distinction. So again, by a korban, by an animal korban, you never have Maaser Mechichon Aleha. You never have that's obviously Mechazer, that he's obviously lying, and therefore Reb Shimon says we do have to pay attention to that Machshava. But here, by Mincha, we can in fact say that it's different. Okay, so the Gemara is going to go through several questions on Rabbah and ask, and then we'll start them today. We'll continue tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem, and try several different cases where, according to Rabbah's logic, we should say that a korban should be kosher. Even though we know for a fact that it's possible. So simon oila oila. So again, Rava is saying whenever it's obvious that it's being that it, whenever it's obvious that it, that, that it's false, then we ignore that thought. So now the Gemara is going to ask several questions on that. Simon oila oila molakol mitzvah chatasov kachin 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 kalim. These are key words from the, all the things that the Gemara is going to bring to ask on Rava. So the Gemara starts off elamayata oila sa'oif shemolka lamaila. So now an oila sa'oif, if you did the malika on the top half of the mizbeach. Mishum chatas oif, having in mind that it should be a chatas oif, teratza, that it should count for the owner according to Reb Shimon, because maaser mechichan olal de olas oifi. The maisim show that it's an olas oif. Di chatas oif, you might have a avid love, because if it was chatas oif, he would have done it on the bottom half of the mizbeach. As we learned in Zvachim, with animal korbanos, a chatas' blood is applied on the top half, and most other korbanos, and all other korbanos on the bottom half, with the well, most other, I guess, because you have the chatos apnimius, but whatever. The point is, you have the chatos chitzoina is on the top half. Other korbanos that are, where the blood is applied to the mizbeach chitzin is on the bottom half. With birds, it's the other way around. The chatos is on the bottom half, and the ola is on the top half. And now, if he did the malika of an ola sa'oif, and had in mind that it was a chatos sa'oif, but he did it on the top half of the mizbeach, it should be fine, because it's obviously an ola sa'oif, and we should ignore the fact that he said chata sa'oif, because an ola sa'oif belongs on the top half, and a chata sa'oif belongs on the bottom half. The fact is, the Mishnah had told us in the Zvachim that it's possible, and even Reb Shimon seemed to agree to that. And the answer is, otu chata sa'oif l'mayla milesa. What are you talking about? It's perfectly possible to do the chata sa'oif, the malika of it, on the top half of the mizbeach. Ha'omamah, we learned there in Zvachim, malika b'chol makom ha'mizbeach k'shera. The malika is kosher if it's done anywhere on the mizbeach. So no, when you do the malika, it's actually not so obvious that you're doing it on the wrong half of the mizbeach. Now, what was the Gemara's Hava Amina? Tosfos points out, fine, yes, it is kosher, but it's not the usual way to do that. Because the whole point is, after you do the malika, you immediately need to press out the blood onto the mizbeach. But derech klal, you're not going to do it in a different place because you don't want to. You don't want the blood to drain out before you have a chance to do that part. So usually you'll do them in the same place. So the Gemara assume that therefore if a kohen goes to the top half of the mizbeach and dafka and does the malika over there, then it's clearly obvious he's doing there's a hola. And therefore, that if it says the same takas, we should ignore that. But the Gemara is saying the fact is that not. Fact is that the malika is kosher anywhere on the mizbeach, and therefore, even though it's a practical matter, we might usually do it on the bottom half for a chakas, and therefore we can't say maaser mechichan olal. Okay, the Gemara says, what about oila sa'oif chemitza domo l'mayla? What about if an oila sa'oif, where he squeezed out the blood on the top half of the mizbeach, was shame chata sa'oif, having in mind that it's a chata sa'oif, teratze, it should be valid, it should be a kosher korban, because again, according to Rava's law, ma'aser mechichan olal de oila sa'oif. Doesn't the fact that he did it on the top half demonstrate that it really is an oila sa'oif? De'i chata sa'oif he l'mata hava ovid lo, precisely because a chata sa'oif would have been done on the bottom half of the mizbeach, as it's supposed to be done. And furthermore, had it been a chatas oif, he would have been doing two things. As we learned in Tzvachim, when it comes to a chatas oif, first the koyin holds the bird a little distance away from the mizbeach and squeezes the body of it and squirts out the blood towards the mizbeach. Then he presses it against the wall of the mizbeach and presses out more blood on the bottom half of the mizbeach, as we said. So if it was a chatas oif, first of all, he would have done it on the bottom half, and he would have first done the hazah, and only then the mitzui, the squeezing it out against the wall. So again, maaser mechichan olal. So it should be obvious from his actions that this is an oila, despite the fact that he said that it's a chatas, and nevertheless, Reb Shimon agrees that it's possible. So why? According to Rabbah's logic, it ought to be kosher because maaser mechichan olal. So the Gemara answers, Amri, so they answer, Duma mitzu debosta hazahu, because people might not realize that this is the initial mitzui. People might not realize that there was in fact no hazah before. People might think there was a hazah. Drama man mitzu drama b'chomakum of mizbeach k'shera. Again, when it comes to a chatas oif, the hazah has to be done on the bottom half of mizbeach. The mitzui, the squeezing out of the blood against the wall, can be done on any place of the mizbeach. Because, now it's true, it's supposed to be done on the bottom half of the Mizbeach, because the Pasuk says it's supposed to go, oh, you slow your Mizbeach. But Tosfos points out, the fact is, it's not ma'akiv at all, the same way as we learned when it comes to animal korbanos, that most matonis are not ma'akiv, and therefore if you didn't do them, then the korban is kosher. Similarly, with a bird chatas, as long as you did hazah, the korban is kosher, and we don't really care about the mitzvah. Therefore, if he does do the mitzvah in the wrong half, then it doesn't matter, and the korban will still be kosher. So it's not so obvious. It's not ma'aseh mechichon alav. Somebody looks and sees this kohen doing the mitzvah, and him saying, according to the opinions that he has to say, or very strongly thinking that it's a chatas, people are going to think, you know what, it really is a chatas. This is, must be the mitzvah, which is the last stage of the chatas, and he's doing it on a different part of the mizbeach. So therefore, it's not ma'aseh mechichon alav, and even according to Rabbah's understanding of Reb Shimon, we still have to say, therefore, that Reb Shimon would have to agree that it is possible. So we'll continue tomorrow. Best Hashem, we'll go through more challenges to Rabbah, and then we'll go through Rava's and Rav Ashi's answers of how to find Fred of Shimon, and continue with this discussion of the Shema and Shalom and all that.